Well, good morning and welcome on this Sunday morning. And we welcome you today to an opportunity again to worship with us and excited to be back with you. Those of you joining us online, again, welcome and thank you for taking the opportunity this morning to begin our day here together as we celebrate what the Lord has done and looking forward to how He is going to continue to lead. We do consider this still a mask required, and so we're working through some of the changes and things like this and how we as a church are doing. So just continue to pray with us as a body of believers as we march through these changes and the way our feelings and sensitivities are fluctuating and, you know, understanding where we are in these things. So just appreciate your patience with us, and we will continue to do that. We'll be getting an update out as we move forward just so that people understand what we're looking to do as a church. And I'm very grateful for our attitude as a whole, as we have sought to be kind and considerate of others as they are struggling and understanding where we are as a church, as a people. And your gracious attitude has just been a testimony as I talk with other pastors and different ones around the nation as they share what their churches are struggling with and how they've handled it. So I just thank you for your kindness one to another as we go through this time. A few things that I want to share with you as we get started here today. We've got a great day planned as we worship together. Just a little bit, we'll be hearing from Caitlin Pollock, who is headed to Africa and is going to be ministering over there in the next few months. She'll be departing, and she's going to give to us her presentation. And then also, today marks a significant transition in our staff, in our ministry, as David Prairie is stepping down from the ministry of youth pastor, heading full-time into mission work, and getting an opportunity to hear from him today. And so things planned for today, and excited to be able to do that. Also today, I'd like to give a special word of recognition and appreciation to a particular individual by the name of Jackie Hicks, who has served faithfully in the ministry of MOPS, and just really appreciate her and her leadership. And for 3 years, she has led that ministry, and now her kids have outgrown it, and she is stepping away from being the director, and Jen Grieve will be taking that position. But Jackie, thank you for serving, and we appreciate your help on this thing. Thank you. It's a joy to be able to have people who are willing to give of themselves and to share in ministries, and I just always find it important that we encourage one another and remind each other how significant the roles we play are and the ways that we participate, and just really do appreciate her commitment. Not that she's done being a help in other places, but just in this one area, we are grateful for her leadership in that. A few other things just to make sure that you're aware of as we go forward is to be aware of different things happening. If you'll notice in your bulletin, there are several things that are coming up, especially in the summer months and just the next few weeks. And so hoping that you'll take notice of these different areas of opportunity. I continue to be involved with the Pray It Forward team as we continue to do the updates and to be in prayer about the changes that are going on in our campus, some significant things that are getting ready to happen on the site. And so hoping that you're driving by every once in a while, noticing the way things are starting to shape and to come together, and appreciate all the drone footage that Kevin and Don and pictures and things like this are providing for us as we go forward. Looking to have a specific meeting at the end of May here, right before Memorial Day, somewhere around the 23rd, that Sunday. We're going to anticipate having a meeting together just to talk about where we are in the process, and hoping by that time to actually have firmer numbers in our budget related to what we anticipate FEMA to provide and other groups here. So just keep us in prayer as Darcy and those involved continue to work on these different challenges. I want to mention as well, take notice of the classes that are being offered here on Sunday mornings as well as then through the week, and hoping that you can get involved in those as the days ahead come forward. Want to mention that in our school, had a great time at the junior-senior banquet last night, and appreciating the work that was done there. And then also a couple of different ones to mention, but Lauren Estes, one of our students at the school, also serving with our violins, and Greg and Kathy's daughter, Lauren, placed second in districts in tennis. And so congratulations to her and the work that she did there. And those top four as they were seeded out, will then keep going on into regionals. So just pray for her as she continues on, but that's a great job. And then our boys middle school baseball team plays first in, I guess, the region or district as well. And so some fun things happening in the school. We've had some great events in the last few weeks here, and a graduation coming up in just a couple of weeks. And you'll notice there some things about that here in the bulletin. I hope that you're keeping up with the Bible reading and things of this nature, and keeping up with all these things that are going on, and hoping that this has been a good help for you. One other detail, and that's Carnita is going to be 90, and I didn't. Is she not here right now? She'll be. She's in the back there. Okay, she's in Sunday school. All right, Carnita, make sure that you wish her happy 90th birthday coming up on Wednesday, and she's in Sunday school. So before you leave, make sure that you wish her a happy birthday and congratulate her on a life well lived. If she could just have raised a better son, I don't know about that, but no, we're very grateful for them. And so, in any case, make sure that you wish her a happy birthday. I'm going to ask Nathan Grieve to come. He is going to help us with the reading of our verse this morning and then open us with a word of prayer. So let's stand together, if you would, please, and allow our hearts to be focused again on his word as he prepares our heart for what the Lord has in store for us today.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Let's read, please, Psalm 1, 5 through 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come into your presence this morning. We thank you for that opportunity. Lord, we love you, and we ask that you would calm our hearts this morning, allow us to experience the joy of your attributes. Help us to worship you in all humility. And I pray, dear Lord, as we listen to the preaching of your word, that you would clear our minds, allow us to focus and to grow and to learn what you would have us to learn this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Nathan. It is a joy to be with you this morning and to lead you as we sing praises to the Lord. I'm going to introduce a newer song to you this morning. I don't do that a lot on Sunday mornings, but I kind of posted it on Facebook, and hopefully you got a chance to see that this week. But I'm just thankful and encouraged by the things that we are seeing God do, and we know that when God has his hand in things, they don't always look exactly the way we think they do, or they don't turn out the way we think they should. But they're great things because God's hand is upon them. So I hope that you'll be encouraged as we sing this morning, Great Things. Bow at his feet, he has done greatly.
You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
All hail the power.
Atoning sacrifice, keeper of this life, hallelujah, you are Savior, beginning and the end, forgiver of my sin, by your mercy you have saved us. Jesus, you are stronger, more than any other. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus, you are higher, my soul's deepest desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior.
You are the shepherd. You lead us by still waters. Hallelujah. You are Savior. You are my only hope. Your kindness is my friend. In your presence, you restore us.
Jesus, you are stronger, more than any other. Desire, hallelujah, you are.
are so grateful, Lord, for salvation. We're glad that you're our friend. You're the keeper of our life, the shepherd, our king, and on the names that you have, and we're so grateful. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to praise you. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word today. Thank you for Caitlin and her passion and desire to be in Africa and to share the gospel and love on those people and love them to you. So we pray as she comes and presents that you would encourage our hearts and encourage her too, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Great singing this morning, and it's a joy to be able to have Caitlin come today. We had anticipated last week, grateful that her health has allowed her to be here today, and everything that's going on, we're just mindful of opportunities God gives to us to hear from and to be able to share in ministries that are continuing to make endeavors to reach and to go and to be where God has called people to be. And also as a church, as a sending church, it's a sheer delight to watch God work within our own group of people, placing in them a heart and a burden to go and to be ministers of the gospel in different places and even across the seas. It's a mixed joy in the sense of knowing that we'll lose Caitlin here in that sense, but gaining our opportunity to reach in other places. So I'm going to allow her to come at this time and share with us what it is that the Lord is doing and how she has been already being led in this direction and where God is leading her to currently. So Caitlin, you come ahead and share with us this morning.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Caitlin Pollock, as he said, and I'm excited just to share with you guys about what God has been doing and just excited about where he's been leading me. I currently teach first grade right now at Grace Academy, and I'm just excited that God has now called me to go to Kenya for a year, possibly it being long term. But I just want to tell you a little bit about how I got connected with this organization. So I'm going to kind of go back to when I first went to Africa and just share with you a little bit of my story. So in 2011, I was a sophomore in college and I decided I was going to go on a missions trip. And so I got connected with an organization in South Africa called Door of Hope. And I went there for a month and worked with volunteers from all around the world. And basically what this organization does is that they take in babies. And so the picture up there on the screen underneath that sign is actually if you lift it up, there's a little bed inside. And so people that are unable to care for their children, they are able to place them there. And then the people are able to take care of them inside those homes. And so while I was there, I cared for 13 babies. And there's a few of them there. And so I cared for those children. And actually, in South Africa, the adoption policies are really good. And so all of those children get adopted, and which is amazing because a lot of places over in Africa, there's not great adoption policies, so it's harder to adopt. But these children were all adopted. And so then fast forward a year, in 2012, my friend and I were going to go to Africa again, and we got connected with Encouragement Children's Home, which is where I'll be going. And so this was my first experience with them, and we worked with the kids there. There were 51 kids there at the time, and there's still 51 kids there, new kids. Some have graduated, but we just worked with them and did a VBS and just really enjoyed getting to know the kids and just love on them. And so I kind of felt like maybe I'd be going back, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. And so in 2013, I graduated from college and actually moved down here to Chattanooga and started working at the Children's Center. And in 2015, a friend and I got an opportunity to go back to Kenya for 3 months. And so we were there for 3 months and just worked with the kids and did Bible studies and worked with them on their academics as well and just try to help them stay where they needed to be and on task and everything. And so nearing the end of those 3 months, I actually ended up getting really sick. We both did, and I had malaria and typhoid. And so the malaria got pretty bad, and so I was actually hospitalized for 3 days in Kenya, which is an adventure in and of itself, and I wouldn't advise it. But anyway, so I came back to the States after that and just kind of started working again at the Children's Center and actually worked for the church for a little while, and then at the academy for the last 4 years. And so in 2019, I got my Master's of Education in Teaching and Learning, and I also had an opportunity in 2019 to be able to go back and hopefully this is going to work. There we go. And so we went back and just did another little VBS thing with a small group of people and just worked with the kids. And that was when I just kind of felt like God was like, okay, like this is something you need to pursue. And so we were supposed to go back in 2020, but of course we know that didn't happen because of COVID. And actually over there in Kenya, the kids have not been in school. They closed schools down from January to January, and so they're actually a whole year behind in school now. And then they went back to school in January of this year, but then they closed again in March. And so, and they're planning to open, I guess, this month, but we'll see how that goes, and hopefully things continue to get better there. And so I just continued to kind of pursue what God was asking me to do. And so in January of this year, I announced that I was going to go there, and I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know when it was going to be or how quick or, you know, whatever, but God has been providing just at a rapid rate. And so I'm just to tell you a little bit about the orphanage, and there's 51 kids there now. Half of them are high schoolers, and the high schoolers actually go to boarding school. And so I'll mainly be working with the elementary age students or children, and the other half, when they come home on breaks and things like that, I'll be working with the high schoolers as well. But some of the areas that I'll be serving in is one of these are more recent, but we're going to be setting up a small library there at the orphanage. They actually don't have access to any books or educational tools other than what they bring home from school, which is very minimal. So my goal is to kind of have a little library there and just like a little tutoring center to help the kids when they do come home from school. They do go to school from 5 in the morning till 6 in the evening, and so it's a long day for them, but I'll be working with them when I can. So then the other thing is learning Swahili. They actually learn English there as soon as they go to school, so they do speak English, but I will be trying to learn Swahili because I will be in a more remote area, and so I'd like to be able to communicate with everybody there. And then another thing is devotions, daily devotions with the kids, just doing Bible studies, just helping them in their walk with the Lord, organizing the center, and just, I mean, with 51 kids, making sure they have the clothes that they need and shoes and all that is definitely a task. And then just caring for the kids, teaching and tutoring, like I mentioned before. So overall, I'm just kind of going just to serve and help where I am needed and help the kids just grow and learn. So I do have on the next slide, if you would like to join my email list, you can text this number at 66866, and you can text Kenya, and then it'll come up and ask you to put your name and an email address, and then I can add you to my email list. I also have a sign up in the back. If you'd rather just sign up on the paper, that's fine as well. And so there's three different ways you can join my support team. One is through prayer support, which everybody can do. The second one is just one-time giver, and third is monthly support. But God has really been providing for me at just like an amazingly rapid rate. It actually makes me really emotional just because it's been really amazing. Sorry. How clear God has made it for me to go. So I am just really blessed, and I am very thankful that he has provided for me in this way. I was really unsure if this is what God wanted me to do, and I just prayed that if he wanted me to go, that he would provide. And within the first month of announcing, I actually raised all of my outfit and passage, and within 3 months, I raised all my monthly support. And so it's just been amazing that God has just said yes, like this is what you're supposed to do. And so it's just been so cool to see like what God has done in my life to get me to this point and then what he's going to continue to do. So I would love for you to join my support team, and just if you would like to sign up for my email list, I'd love to have you, and I'll just be updating regularly of all the things that are going on, and I'm just really excited to see what else he's going to do once I get there, because I feel like there's just going to be so many opportunities, and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Let's have a word of prayer for Caitlin. and ask God to continue to provide for her and bless her in her ministry endeavors. Father, we're grateful for the burden that you placed upon Caitlin's heart as she, in just a few months from now, a few weeks from now, will be launching out in this endeavor. And I ask, Lord, that you would, first of all, continue to provide the resources that are necessary, but then also to give her the courage, the boldness, the excitement, the enthusiasm to pour her life into these individuals, these young people, and the others who are serving there, that she can be a real sense of lifting the hands of those who are working diligently. Lord, thank you for placing this upon her heart, and then most importantly for her answering this as in her life, Lord, the sense of urgency, this sense of calling, of purpose. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to just confirm within her the sense of your leading and direction. Lord, we ask now that you'll bless her, continue to provide for her resources, continue to give her the strength, protect her, Lord, in these days, and keep her body and her mind and her heart physically strong, as well as mentally, emotionally, and spiritually strong. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to open the doors before her, and may she see great fruit as a result of the labor that you're doing even now through the ministry of your Spirit. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Caitlin. Excited to get an opportunity to hear and to share. And I hope that you'll sign up for that as well as we move forward. Well, today is also a significant day for us as a church as we take another from within our ranks and we officially send them forward to go about the business of serving in other ways, other capacities. David Prairie has been serving faithfully for well over 10 years in our ministry here at Grace Baptist and with the school and with the church. And grateful for him and the work that he has been doing here, how God has been training him or preparing him, and now has placed upon his heart a burden to minister and to teach and to help in other parts of the world. And so today officially marks a closing of one chapter of the story, so to speak, and the beginning of a new journal page, a new part of the phase of his life. And we're excited to be able to celebrate that with him. And so I've asked him to come today and to share with us sort of a sense of this closing of this part of his ministry, but the launching of the next, and to challenge us as a church to prepare our hearts for the ministry ahead for us here at Grace. And so, David, you come and preach to us and challenge us from God's word what we need to hear today.
I don't have a sign-up sheet, but I do have new prayer cards. If I don't get to you in person to hand you one, I would love for you to pick one up from the table in the back. I'm hoping that when my daughters get here for the second service that they'll hand them out for me because nobody refuses anything from them. But let's pray together. Father, we look to your word now because we want to know you. You're the one who has made us. We belong to you. We are yours. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. So help us, cause us to know your goodness, your steadfast love, and your faithfulness toward us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, I noticed there actually are some on the back of the pews in front of you. You can find Jeremiah 23 on page 753 of that Bible if you need help looking that up. Last Sunday night, I gave a final charge to the teens, and today I'm grateful to give a kind of last message to you as a staff member, although I hope it's not my final time ever to preach for Grace Baptist. Lord willing, there'll be future opportunities as well. But many of you have followed our journey over the past few years as we've sought the Lord for where He would have us, and so you know how that direction now seems to be slightly different than when we first set out. So I don't want to reiterate all of that, except to say that if by chance any of you here have been waiting for us to get on the field or to back out of the youth ministry role to begin to support us, That time is now, so talk to me after the service. But I do appreciate the opportunity to preach, as well as to explain a little bit about where we're at in our new assignment. So I trust that this message will accomplish some of both. For me, the chance to be a kind of shepherd here at Grace has really truly been one of the great gifts of my life. And it would seem that the role into which the Lord is leading us will also contain elements of shepherding and helping to prepare others for future shepherding roles as well. Shepherding language might be unusual for our modern American context, and yet it's really quite crucial for understanding the Bible's description of the relationship between God and His people. After all, Ezekiel 34:31 records that God's people are the human sheep of His pasture. Various biblical authors refer to God's people as His flock. So, of course, for the original hearers and readers of these messages in the Old and New Testaments, these images would make perfect sense. They would see the reality of this around them. And it's not that it's an entirely foreign concept to us. I think most of us probably catch the meaning of such phrases. We just don't have the regular visual and cultural reminders around us of those images in the way that these ancient Near East audiences would have had. But my primary concern for today is not really to explain shepherding culturally. It's to help us to understand it spiritually. And what I would want to say today really boils down, I think, to this phrase, and it's this. One of the primary ways that the Lord shepherds His people is by giving them good shepherds. The Lord shepherds His sheep by giving them good shepherds. So Jeremiah 23 addresses the shepherds, the spiritual leaders, in Israel's southern kingdom of Judah in the decades leading up before they were to be exiled into Babylon. And much of Jeremiah's rather lengthy message contains warnings by God given to His people about the coming judgment of that captivity that He was going to bring upon them. And yet, even in those warnings, God is offering hope for His people so that they would see His faithfulness in spite of their unfaithfulness towards Him. So follow along as I read from Jeremiah 23, starting in verse 1, going down through verse 8. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt,' but, as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them, then they shall dwell in their own land. From these verses, we'll examine the four categories that Jeremiah seems to outline here. We'll look at the bad shepherds, the good shepherds, the shepherd like David, and the sheep. And as we examine those four categories, we'll attempt to evaluate what Jeremiah was saying to his original audience, and then how the New Testament repeats the pattern that Jeremiah gives, and why these things would matter for you and me today. So let's look at these four categories. Number one, the bad shepherds, in verses 1 and 2. Who are the shepherds? Who is Jeremiah referring to? Who is the Lord referring to? Well, throughout the Old Testament, various men are described as shepherds, either because that was their vocation, or because of the spiritual oversight that God had authorized them to exercise, or both in some cases. So, for example, the following men are described as shepherds in the Old Testament. You have Abel, Jacob, the sons of Jacob, Moses, Joshua, the judges, David, and other of Israel's kings, and even certain of Israel's prophets are called shepherds. In fact, shortly before this section in Jeremiah 17:16, Jeremiah himself testifies to the Lord. He says, "I have not run away from being your shepherd," indicating that Jeremiah understood himself to be a shepherd for God's people, just as these others before him had been. So when Jeremiah is recording the Lord's declarations about the shepherds, we know he has in mind Israel's spiritual shepherds rather than those whose occupation was herding actual sheep. So those are the shepherds he's referring to. What did these shepherds done? Well, you read in verses 1 and 2 how they had destroyed and scattered God's sheep. Verse 2, the Lord says of them, "You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them." And Jeremiah's description, really throughout this whole section, seems to inform what Ezekiel wrote later in Ezekiel 34. And Ezekiel actually gives greater details about the failures of those who were to provide the godly leadership for this nation. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 6 explains that the shepherds fed themselves instead of feeding the sheep. They ignored the weak, they ignored the sick and the injured. They did not seek out the lost or bring back those who had strayed. And so the sheep were scattered with none to search for them. And the scattering of the sheep was a direct result of a lack of good shepherding. And as they write this, Jeremiah and Ezekiel are picking up on a thread that began back in the writings of Moses. So in Numbers 27, Moses describes how the Lord appointed Joshua to succeed Moses as the one who would lead God's people into the promised land. And the reason that he did this is stated in Numbers 27:17. And it says, "So that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd." That is to say, so that they may not go leaderless. In 1 Kings 22:17, the prophet Micaiah predicted the death of King Ahab using the same phrase. He said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd," to which the Lord said, "They have no master." They are leaderless. They are masterless. And such was the case in the days of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Because the shepherds in Israel failed to the point that it was as though they had no shepherds at all. So when we get to the New Testament, and it records Jesus' compassion for the crowds that he encountered in Israel, the reason for Jesus' compassion is stated, it is because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. Because Jesus recognized they needed a true ruler. Earlier in the book, Jeremiah is really quite harsh toward these shepherds. He says in chapter 2, verse 8, he calls them transgressors. And in chapter 10, verse 21, Jeremiah says, the shepherds are stupid because they do not know the Lord and they do not inquire of the Lord. So later in the book, Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse 6, says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. And so the Lord asks later in that chapter, what shepherd can stand before me? So what would the Lord do about these shepherds? The end of verse 2 says that he will attend to them for their evil deeds. And there's a play on words here in verse 2 that's evident both in Hebrew and in English. Basically says that because the shepherds had not attended to the flock, the Lord will attend to the shepherds. And he would visit them, not to care for them, but to judge them, as the end of verse 2 says, for their evil deeds. And the reason that not attending to the sheep was considered an evil deed worthy of destruction is because the scattering of the sheep would lead to their destruction. Scattered sheep are easier for predators to pick off. So back to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel states that God's sheep had become food for all the wild beasts since there was no shepherd. See, on their own, sheep are prone to wander, and they unwittingly put themselves in danger when they do. And so it is with men, who are much more likely to be destroyed by sin the further we get from the company of our shepherds and from other sheep. About 80 years ago, German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who would eventually be hanged in a concentration camp for his commitment to Christ and the gospel, wrote, "Sin demands to have a man alone. It withdraws him from community. The more isolated a man is, the more destructive sin is." And I've known this to be true in my own life. Jeremiah is showing that bad shepherds leave sheep to the bad results into which they wander. The New Testament apostle Jude describes in his letter how the ungodly false teachers of his day, those who he says deny Christ, he describes them the same way that Ezekiel did. He says they are shepherds feeding themselves. And he says that it is for such men that the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. So brothers and sisters, resist bad shepherds. Resist those who refuse to feed God's word to his people. Because to follow them is to put yourself in danger of the same judgment from God that they will face. So God attends to bad shepherds in order to provide good shepherds. Number two, the good shepherds in verses 3 and 4. In verse 3, the Lord himself is said to be our shepherd. Good shepherds seek out those who stray. Notice the personal promises from God in verse 3. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back into their fold. So by saying, I will do these things, God is saying that he himself will be their shepherd. He will succeed where the other shepherds had failed. The Lord had been described this way previously in the Old Testament. So in Genesis 49:15, Moses records Jacob saying that God has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. At least three psalms describe God as shepherd, most famously Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And in addition to Jeremiah and Ezekiel, there are other prophets, Isaiah, Amos, Micah, Zephaniah, all of whom state that the Lord is the shepherd of his people. Jeremiah, towards the end of his book, chapter 50, records the Lord's promise that though Israel is a hunted sheep, he will restore Israel to his pasture. The Lord is the shepherd. He will gather the remnant of his flock from all countries where he had driven them. This is the Lord's way of describing the return from exile that Israel would experience after their captivity, which would last for 70 years in Babylon. He will gather them and he will bring them back to his fold. A few chapters later, Jeremiah 31:10, he states, "He who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock." This is how the Lord shepherds his sheep in a way that sets him apart from the failed shepherds. Notice in both 23:3 and in 31:10 that I just read that it was the Lord who scattered Israel and drove them away. So Jeremiah is showing us that the wickedness of the false prophets did not thwart the sovereign providence of God. He would bring about their exile, he would drive them away, and he would bring that about as well as bringing about their return from that exile into their land. And he says of his sheep at the end of verse 3 that they shall be fruitful and multiply, which is the very language of Genesis 1 when God first spoke to the man and woman and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over everything else on the face of the earth. And so the Lord's promise through Jeremiah here is that when he brings his people back from exile, it will be for them like it should have been in the Garden of Eden. They will be fruitful and multiply. So the Lord is their shepherd, but in verse 4, the Lord also sets up other shepherds. The Lord shepherds his people by giving them good shepherds. The promise here is similar to what the Lord had said through Jeremiah back in chapter 3. I want you to look at this with me. Turn back, if you would, to Jeremiah 3. Starting in verse 15. Look at this section with me. See what is being emphasized both in this chapter and in chapter 23 that we just looked at. So Jeremiah 3:15-18. The Lord says, "I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And when you have multiplied and been fruitful in the land, in those days, declares the Lord, they shall no more say, 'The ark of the covenant of the Lord.' It shall not come to mind, or be remembered, or missed. It shall not be made again. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God, and all nations shall gather to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall join the house of Israel, and together they shall come from the land of the north to the land that I gave your fathers as a heritage." So, it's apparent that Jeremiah has in mind a time beyond just the years immediately following this return from exile, because these statements point forward to a day when all the nations gathered before the throne of God in Jerusalem. All the nations. This is why we send Caitlin to Kenya. This is why you're sending us, so that we can, Lord willing, develop partnerships along with the ones we already have in Eastern Europe and Central Asia and India and wherever else the Lord may choose to have us minister. We do all this because of the promise that all the nations will one day gather in Jerusalem, because the presence of the Lord will be there in such a way that it will make the Ark of the Covenant completely forgettable. The shepherds, after God's own heart, will feed his sheep with knowledge and understanding so that they will be fruitful and multiply in the land to the extent that all the nations will gather in the land to follow the Lord. So back to Jeremiah 23, verse 4. The Lord will set up shepherds who will care for them. They will fear no more, nor will they be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing. God sets up shepherds to ensure that none of his sheep are ever unaccounted for. Which is why Jesus was able to say to his Father in John 17, 12, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost." So, praise God for good shepherds, who instead of feeding themselves, feed the sheep with the word of God. How are you allowing yourself to be fed by good shepherds? I thank God to have served among shepherds here at Grace who seek to feed the sheep with the scriptures. I'm grateful that this church continues to add men to their staff, like we have with Jency and like we have with Steve, who I know will feed the sheep. Praise God for those men. And praise God for Jesus, who does not lose any of the sheep that the Father gives to him. Which leads to our third category, the shepherd like David, in verses 5 and 6. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." In Ezekiel 34, this one is described as though it were David himself. The Lord says, Ezekiel 34:23, "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and my servant David shall be prince among them." To put it another way, David will be the shepherd king of my people. But David had already come and gone, which must mean that this is speaking of a new David. The Lord says that he will raise up this righteous branch for David, because in Jeremiah 22, the Lord had just torn the kingdom away from Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and had said of him, if you look just at the very last verse of Jeremiah 22, "Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Jerusalem." Which meant that rather than having a descendant of David come to the throne naturally, one would have to be raised up supernaturally. And that is what the Lord is promising to do here. This king will be a righteous branch, which again invokes imagery from the Garden of Eden. So it's like Jeremiah is saying, God's people will be able to be fruitful and multiply because they will have the king of the garden with them, dealing wisely and executing justice and righteousness in the land like a good shepherd. Verse 6 tells us that Judah will be saved and Israel shall dwell securely. So this king provides both salvation and security for his people forever. And the king will be called, "The Lord is our righteousness." What is significant about that name? Well, it acknowledges that the sheep have no righteousness of their own. They only have righteousness because the king whose name is "The Lord is our righteousness" has taken them as his own and has given them his very righteousness. Friends, these are the truths that are fundamental to the Christian gospel. As Isaiah has said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On who? On the king whose name is "The Lord is our righteousness." Jesus, the King of righteousness, has borne our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might have his righteousness imputed to us, making us able to be accepted by God, the holy and just Creator who cannot accept unrighteousness. So to my non-Christian friends who are visiting today, would you turn from attempting to muster up enough righteousness on your own and throw yourself onto the one who is completely righteous on your behalf? Trust Christ today. Talk to me after the service on how that can happen for you. Now, Jesus, of course, recognized his own identity as the fulfillment of this statement by Jeremiah. In John's gospel, we see Jesus teaching, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And just as Jeremiah had said that all the nations would gather around God's throne in Jerusalem to dwell securely in the presence of the Lord, so Jesus acknowledges, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also." Meaning that Jesus didn't come just to shepherd Israel, but to gather all of his sheep from all the nations so that there will be one flock and he will be their shepherd. Which brings us to the fourth category, the sheep, in verses 7 and 8. The Lord describes first their deliverance. He says, "The days are coming when they shall no longer say that it is as the Lord lives who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt." That is to say, they no longer will compare their salvation to the exodus from Egypt. Up to this time, the primary experience of salvation that Israel had was their exodus from Egypt. That was the paradigmatic way that they described how God had rescued them and made them his own and brought them to himself. But the future return from the exile, from being scattered among the nations, would be so much greater that people would begin to explain their salvation in those terms rather than in terms of an exodus from Egypt. It would be a new exodus accomplished by a new Moses, who is also a new David, and a better shepherd than even those men had been for God's people. And at the end of verse 8, he describes their dwelling, saying that they shall dwell in their own land, which is another way to say what he had said in verse 6, that Israel will dwell securely. It's as though that God himself is shepherding the sheep. It's as though that Jeremiah himself is shepherding the sheep of God's people by saying, "Don't resist Babylon when they come to take you into their land. But do understand that Babylon is not your home. As your ancestors were driven into Egypt to show God's power to deliver, so you will be driven into Babylon to show God's faithfulness to you, to his people, to the human sheep of his pasture. So the pattern in the Old Testament is that God is the shepherd of his people, who raises up shepherd leaders such as prophets and priests and kings who will feed his people from his word. And when the people stray, the shepherds are to call them back. And when the shepherds stray, the sheep are scattered. And yet God is the faithful and true shepherd who gathers his flock back into his fold by bringing them back from captivity, putting them in their own land where they will dwell securely. And the pattern of the New Testament is that God sends to his people a shepherd king who has compassion on the people who are scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And in order to gather back his people, the shepherd allows himself to be struck, and the sheep are scattered. But the good shepherd lays down his life in order to take it up again. He is the great shepherd of the sheep who provides his church with shepherds who will feed his flock from the scriptures until the day when Revelation 7 promises the Lamb will be their shepherd. So, until then, fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And pray for and support the training and equipping of new shepherds who can shepherd the flock of God that is among them until the day when all the sheep are gathered into the fold and there is one shepherd among them. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we praise you for bringing again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. We pray that you will equip us with everything good so that we may do your will, that we may do what is pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Can you stand with me as we sing?
A thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we've all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. Who I am, you are perfect in all of your ways, you're perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways to us, you are perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable lie. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I
I appreciate that, David. Thank you. And I do encourage us to be mindful of how God continues to lead, to shepherd, to guide, to direct us. And he uses human agents to become voices of hope and voices of the message, but primarily it points us back to the great shepherd. We keep looking back to him as the chief, the ultimate leader of our lives through the ministry of his word. And I appreciate the reminder of that and the goodness of that, the shepherding nature of God. At times he has to be sharp, but yet always with that desire to love and to provide for us. I hope that we will take into account what God has prepared for us even today and how he is continuing to lead. Thank you, David and Caitlin, and I appreciate your ministry to us. And they're going to be here for a little bit and be back in the foyer and trying to acquaint you with their ministry a little more. They've got cards and things like that for you to draw attention to their ministries, but also to get signed up on updates and things. So I hope that you'll plug in with them and stay in prayer for them. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great afternoon, and may the Lord give you a great week.